Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. But here's two words I want you to remember for the rest of the day and the rest of this week. Home, returning home, home, and next. What do I want you to remember? Home and next. Home and next. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, read it with me. We read this: do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Isn't that true? We really don't know what's next. We don't. You and I don't even know how this afternoon is going to shape up. Most of them, shape up very ordinarily, but then there is those where everything becomes helter-skelter. Been there?
Yes.
Where nothing is going the way you thought it would, and sometimes it's so different and so life-changing that your life will never, ever be the same. Think back to just over this year. There were some of those moments, when the next was very, very turbulent. The other thing, home, I love home. One of my favorite things in the world is to get to the bottom of our driveway. I still pinch myself that we are allowed to where we are allowed to live, and the kind of home God gave us, and the girl that greets me there. I'm just home is more than way more than just a house, isn't it? A home is a great home is something in place, something you want to get return to. You just can't wait. You ever feel like that? Where you just, that's why when things are miserable at home, it's such a drag, isn't it? It's just such a damper when things are, but when things are right at home, man, what a joy to get back home. Did you notice that in what we read today? Those wise men wanted to go home. Mary and Joseph wanted to go home. And those shepherds went back. They did. All those people in the Christmas story. And, they all saw Jesus. And then there was a next. There was a next. And you and I, we're going to walk into a new year in 3 days.
Yeah.
And there will be 365 days of nexts that are looming at us. And it's wonderful when you have the nexts and you can look forward to the next, and a large part of being able to look forward to the next is have a place you call home. Somewhere where you can go back to and feel at home. So that's what I want you to think with me about here today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. We already read it, but let me read those two verses again. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, that's the wise man, with his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. I've preached on this whole passage many times. You probably heard sermons on it if you've gone to church for a while. But very often we don't look at verse 12 a whole lot. They saw Jesus. They finally got there. It was a highlight of their life. They went on this terrific adventure of seeing the star, discerning from that star, understanding that God was announcing the birth of Jesus, and they felt like that was God's invitation to them, and they traveled from a long ways and made it all the way and found the child. And they rejoiced, remember? Exceedingly great joy, and they worshipped him, and then there came this next. This next. Now they had to go home, right? They weren't able to be able there for the next 18 years while Jesus was growing up. It was time to go home. And I imagine they had already planned on how they were going to get home. Most likely, they were going to go back the same way they came. You ever do that? You take the same route all the time. And back, especially back then when traveling was dangerous. It wasn't, you know, traveling still has its quirks today, but nothing like back then. And so I imagine they picked for themselves, a route that was got them home quick and safely. Oftentimes, that's exactly the considerations that we have. But then there was this next, and it shaped up completely different of what they planned. How good are you when things shape up differently than what you planned? Some of us are very flexible, and some of us have break out in hives just thinking about it. So maybe at this point of this year, you're finding yourself on a very unfamiliar stretch of the road. Maybe God is leading you to some things. Not that doesn't want you to get home. Ultimately, God wants all of us to get home. For all Christians, we are churning into our eternal home. We are. Somebody should say amen, glory, hallelujah. That's a good thing. It is. I mean, think about how glorious it is to just come to your own home when you finally get to your heavenly home, when you get to the pearly gates and you get to stay there. Wow, that's going to be something. So, but maybe at this point in your life, right now, you find yourself a very unfamiliar stretch of road. And did you notice about these wise men? There was not a lot of time they had to think or pray. I've always wondered, did all of them, you know, we a lot of times we think of three wise men, and a lot of times that's attached to tradition and maybe even their gifts because they all depend on different gifts. But did they all have the same dream? God told them in a dream. I mean, how did they confirm? You know, two of us, you had this dream. Yeah, you always have those wild dreams. We're not going with what you're saying. But maybe they all had the same dream. I don't know. We're not told. But we do know this. They all agreed. And they didn't have a lot of time to think. Sometimes, you know, our next, you don't have a lot of time to think about the next. Some nexts, we know they're coming. And it's good to go prepare for them, like retiring. And we will end up in a grave somewhere, most likely, unless Jesus returns before then. It's good to make plans. You help your family, you know, save a lot of trouble. You know what's next. And sometimes you have to a lot of time to prepare for it. And other times, like here, no time to prepare at all. You have to respond to it right now, right there, and right then, and just trust what God is telling you. Because you got to think through the implications. Remember Herod, they went first to Jerusalem when they got there. And they went to Herod, and Herod told them, I want you to report back to me. And now God is telling them, you're not going back to Herod. You're going. So I don't know how many of us want to tick off. And Herod was kind of like a dictator. He was absolutely ruthless, which we find out later in the story. Remember, he kills all the children two and under. He's a ruthless. Do you want to tick a guy like that off? Think about that. That next that God is telling them is not a safe next. You know, we increasingly in our world today, us, we are more and more obsessed with safety. Let me illustrate that to you. You know, a few weeks, about a month ago, I went to Tanzania to go teach pastors there, and numerous people said, you know, I said, you shouldn't go. It's not safe right now. It wasn't super safe, maybe. Or they say, well, we'll pray for your safety. Very few had said, I'm just going to pray that God will use the snot out of you. Because we're so obsessed with safety. God doesn't always leave us down the safest road. I wonder how much do we miss out on what God is doing because we Our first priority is safety rather than what God would want us to do. How often do we balk when God is directing us and we go, well, I don't want to take so-and-so off, and I don't feel like that's quite safe, and we let that be our chief concern. The chief concern should be when God talks to you and gives you something clear to follow, man, chase after that. So they had this decision to make. Are we going to stick with the original plan? Or are we going to cancel it? And are we going to make a new plan? Can I ask you something? Is God working on you right now on that level? You got some things planned, but God is giving you a different marching order. What are you going to do? Let me ask you a couple of questions here. A couple more since I already asked a bunch. If you would have been in the Magi's shoes, what would we read today? If you would have been in those Magi's shoes 2,000 years ago, would the story be different today? How welcome is God to change your plans? How stubborn we can be. And when it comes to your plans, what's off limits, even to God? You know what I found a lot of times, you know, people when they're in love and the romance strikes, that's off limits, God. I'm going to do whatever I want there. Or business. I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to make this business decision. God telling you something different? No, that's what I'm going to do. Career. Where are we going to live? You know, there are things we're prone to tell God off limits. See, the next morning, tomorrow will come. It will come. But I hope that tomorrow morning, all the way down to December 31st of 26th, that next morning will find us emulating these wise men when it comes to the next. Which brings me to number two, Joseph and Mary. It goes on, right? Out of this account of the wise men, verse 13 and 14. Now when they had gone, that's the wise men. Got that for us? Verse 13 and 14 of Matthew. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while it was still what? Night. And he left Egypt. How many of you like your sleep? And how many of you hate it when your sleep is interrupted? And you're not at your best when your sleep is interrupted. I think you need to put him outside or something where he can't lick you or do something like that. But I'm glad you're paying attention. That just pleases me to no end. So, now, here's what I know for sure. That was not Joseph's idea of being a dad for the first time around. To pack up in the middle of the night and be on the run. Don't you think? I don't think that's any first time dad. In fact, even second, third, fourth time dad, that's not going to be part of what you would like to do. But God warned him here. He warned the wise men before that. But then this is even more urgent. Do you need to recognize that? Because Joseph understood, and Joseph was, we know this, as Joseph was a righteous man, and he was a good listener to God. Remember when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he wanted to divorce her quietly, But then God told them, no, that child is from the Spirit of God, and you're going to give him in the name Jesus. And so he changed his what? He changed his plan. He what we know about Moses, Joseph, he is a very good listener when it comes to God. In fact, he is so good at listening to God that even he takes his dreams serious. That doesn't necessarily describe me. Especially a dream, I might be prone to dismiss it. But he's a very sensitive listener to God. But this is not what he wanted to do, I guarantee it to you. He didn't want to have to run for his life, flee, and then be a refugee in a foreign country. I imagine this. Imagine it with me. What do you think would have been their dream? As these young first-time parents. I think if I'd have to say, I would go, we're going to go back home to Nazareth. We're going to build ourselves a home there. We're going to build up the carpentry business. We're going to expand that. Then we're going to have a few more kids. And all of that, and hopefully all of that will prosper and go well, and then we're going to have a little, white picket fence out front, and if we live in Don Peter, we're going to buy the property next door so no one can bother us. we have these dreams, right? And I imagine their dreams were very, very similar. Nothing wrong with thinking like that in and of itself. They probably wanted to live a full and a quiet life. Most of us would settle for that. Have you ever thought about this? That sometimes, in order for God to protect you, in order for Him to work out His will in your life, you might have sheer moments of panic. You might go through some things that are very tumultuous where you left wondering, that couldn't be possibly of God, could it? And maybe you're finding yourself in a place like this right now in your life where you go, this is not what we planned. This is not what I've been praying for. This is not what I've imagined. This can't be of God. This is too crazy. There's way too much fear here. There's way too much to be afraid of. There's way too much of the unknown. I don't want to live in Egypt. I don't speak Egyptian. No, I like it when he participates. That's great. Think about all the things Joseph could have thought of that would have kept him from packing up in the middle of the night. Maybe you're finding yourself there right now. You already know what God's been telling you, but you're listing all the things why you shouldn't. How am I going to find an Uber this time of night? There's no train leaving until 8 tomorrow. And maybe you're right now in the process, you know what God has been talking to you, but you've been talking yourself out of it. You're listing all the stuff why you shouldn't. Or why this can wait. Oftentimes that's our main way of going, where we just go procrastinate. And if we procrastinate too long, then it just kind of goes away. Is that where you're finding yourself at the end of this year? Have you also thought about this, about Joseph, it doesn't make sense. God shuffles the entire Roman Empire by this decree of Augustus. All the people have to move. There's all this commotion that God, you know, we don't often think of history like that, do we? So God orchestrates the entire Roman Empire so Mary and Joseph would end up at this particular time in Bethlehem so she can give birth to the Messiah, because this is, God was serious about the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, and he shovels all this stuff only to go send them on the run. But he knew that too, didn't he?
Yes.
On a dead run, in the middle of the night, get out of Bethlehem. So he does this one thing on the one hand, and you go, wow, that's wonderful, that's awful, and wonderful and awesome. And then turn right around and go, well, that's terrible. And why that? How often do you think they wish they could have gone back home when they were living down there in Egypt? How often do you think they sat together and Mary and Joseph prayed together? I hope you pray together, especially, you know, pray with your kids, pray with your spouse, pray in your home, pray with your friend, you know, where they sat together and they prayed and said, oh, Lord, when do we get to go home? Don't you think they prayed something like that? Lord, when is this going to be over? When can we close the Egypt chapter? You know, sometimes we're prone to close a chapter that God has opened too soon. You ever catch yourself there? Maybe that's where you're right now. God's got you in a chapter of life. You don't like that next step that you're in, and you just want to close that. And sometimes we close it too quick. And the moment I do, I get ahead of God's timing. And when I get ahead of God's timing, I'm out. My timing is out. If you know anything about mechanics, you know, if your motor is out of timing, it doesn't go. And the thing that, the worst thing to have out of whack is your spiritual timing. The worst thing to have out of whack is how God wants to time your life. That's part of God's will. Is also God's timing. It's not good to get ahead of God's timing. And aren't we glad Joseph and Mary didn't get ahead of it? See, I imagine they wanted to have a home that would be calmer, that would be more settled. But how often do you think later in life, when Joseph thought back, he was glad that he listened to that dream that night? How often do you think Joseph thought back and thought, man, I'm glad I stayed in Egypt for as long as I did. God used that in my life. Did you know God knows how to use every season in your life? Let me ask you a couple more questions. Right now, what is God directing you that's hard for you to do? That's hard. What has he been saying to you? Now, if you're like me, sometimes, you know, when God is directing me something that's hard, I kind of go, okay, let me double check. And then you go, let me triple check. Let me check some more. And let me ask you another question. What makes you hesitate? What makes you panic? What makes you be afraid? Because those things will impact you. Those things might cause you to give an answer and a response that's different from what God wants you to do. Another question is this: what is God putting in front of you that's urgent, that needs to be responded to right now? Maybe you got something in your life right now, and it can't. You, this is the time to respond to it, not later. This is the time. Sometimes that's You know, certainly Scripture bears that out. Once you understand the gospel, that's the time to get saved. That's the time to go follow Jesus. This is the day of salvation, not later. Let me encourage you, go respond to it. If you know the answer and what God is directing you to go do, go give it legs. Don't walk into 2026 and just kick that ball down a little further down the road. Don't do it. All you will reap is a frustrated Christian life. Do you ever think about this? There's joy. There's wisdom in obeying God. Obeying God is not a drag. But I admit to you, it can be very, very puzzling. It can be very, very challenging. But I know this. In the future, none of us will ever regret obeying God. None of us will ever regret trusting God.
No.
But you, we and I will regret the other way around. See, God will always have a next for you, because next will come. And it might put you out of your comfort zone. Don't misinterpret the uncomfortable, the hardship, as being out of God's will. Don't misinterpret it. We're prone to do it because we have bought into what is a heresy that has infiltrated the church of the health and wealth gospel, that you know if you do everything right with God, then everything will go hunky-dory in your life. No. You obey God not for the outcome. You obey God because of His wisdom and who He is. That's the chief reason to obey God. It's always wiser to obey God. Always. Always wiser to trust God. It's always wiser to put your faith in Him. Yeah. It's the best thing you and I will ever do is follow His directions. But don't buy into this lie. That's what Satan does. If you just go worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world, and you get to arrange it all the way you want, and you will have all the means to do it. This brings us to number three. Those shepherds. I like the shepherds. When the angel, Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and 20, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying one to another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us." And the shepherds did what? Read it with me. In verse 20, went back glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. I already told you that I love coming home. I also love living the life that God has called me to. You know, I always think of my uncle Georg. He was actually my great uncle. He was also my godfather there in Germany. Talk about living a tumultuous life. He fought in two world wars at the losing end. Didn't want to be in any of them, wasn't a Nazi, but he was conscripted, had to go, because if he didn't, it wasn't good for you. Then he was a prisoner of war for several years in France. At the end of that war, and he was also a farmer, small German farm. They both had livestock and growing grains. And I remember talking to him one time, and he said, "You know what? If I would get to live another life, I would be a farmer again. I love being a farmer." He loved being that. I imagine that's maybe true for some of these shepherds. Maybe you're one of the privileged people where you get to do something, where you go, "That's what I always wanted to do. I wouldn't do anything else, and if I had another lifetime, I'd do the same thing all over." We don't know whether that's true of all these guys, but we do know that they went back, didn't they? Remember, they got to see the heavenly host, which is actually the angel armies of God. And you know, there's not but the heavenly host is not a bunch of little angels in diapers playing harps. It's the heavenly host. These are heavenly warriors. Can you imagine that sight out in the fields when they got a glimpse at the heavenly armies, and those heavenly armies, I always imagine that sound. I imagine the sound of that heavenly army praising God, and the herald angel talking, put them straight on their knees. Just, you know, we know they were terrified by it. So we have these shepherds, and they go back home. It's not nearly as complicated as Mary and Joseph and the wise men. You know, they see the baby Jesus, and they go back home. Don't you love simple trips like that? You know, I do. I like uncomplicated. You know, drama is overrated. And so they go on back. They see this marvelous sight, and they go. They only have one little detour. They go through the streets of Bethlehem. And I imagine Bethlehem wasn't a huge town back then, and you know, it's just a few miles out of Jerusalem, and so they're there in the middle of the night, whooping and hollering, praising God. You ever tone your love for God and your amazement of God and your worship down because you think, hey, this is inappropriate right now? Anyway, that's a whole different story. But, you know, I like to have my imagination run wild reading the scriptures, you know, and I imagine they were not used to shepherds doing that in the middle of the night. In fact, shepherds were known to be a rough crowd. It was considered a rough profession, you know. Can you think of any other rough professions like today, you know, construction or something like that, you know, where, you know, you... I imagine maybe they were known more for, you know, stumbling out of the bar late at night in Bethlehem, the inn, you know, and having had too much. And that's a different kind of hooping and hollering. You ever think about that? These guys were changed. They were changed. No one has changed my life more than Jesus. And no one will change your life more than Jesus. You know, so often I need Jesus. I need him for forgiveness of my sins. But I need to warn you, you ask Jesus into your life. You put your faith and trust in Christ. You start following Jesus. It will change you. You might become a hooper hollerer of praises in the middle of the night. You might start sticking out in a whole different way. Now, this is familiar. This is their home base. People need to experience Jesus in your and my life, wherever it takes us. Hoop and holler about Jesus when you're at Costco, when you're at work, when you're in the doctor's office, waiting. How many, you know, especially us that were longer in the tooth, you end up in a doctor's office, you don't want to be there, and so you start just commiserating with everybody else there. You know, how terrible, doctor, how hard the health system has all gone down the tubes, and you pretty soon, you know, and then you mix it in the politics of it all, and pretty soon, you know, everybody's crying in the place. Certainly not positive. Have you ever thought about that? God takes us to doctor's offices and places like that because he means for us to hoop and holler and praise God in those places because that's where Jesus is needed. That on your way home, you know, don't behave like a barn sour mare. That's all you can think about is getting home and you don't notice anything else around you. The other thing that surprised me in reading this year, and I have never noticed this, you know, this is the thing amazing me about the Bible. Year after year, I read it, And I see new stuff all the time. It's like, there's another surprise. And why didn't I never see that before? And these shepherds sounded a lot like the heavenly host that they experienced just a little while ago. Did you notice that? Because we're told that the heavenly host broke out in praise. And here we got these shepherds, and they go see Jesus, and the heavenly host, of course, they've seen Jesus before he came to be incarnate in the heavens, on the throne. They've seen him. He's the leader of that army. They've seen him in his glory. And here it is. Shepherds got the experience of some of that very glory, and they couldn't help but do what? Break out in praise. You know, the day I got saved, I got to see a little bit of Jesus in his glory. Risen. Victorious. Savior. King. So did you. All of us in this room will have called on Christ. And here they break out in the same kind of praise. Wow. Gotta like it. And then they went home. But I can't help but think that their lives were changed, that those shepherds were different from that point on. And you and I are meant to be like that. See, most of us, we will have turbulent times and all this in life, but most of our lives are ordinary. But the ordinary Christian life is different from the ordinary life and the world in general. It is a life filled with praise. It's a life filled with having met Jesus and never getting over it. Never not be filled with joy the moment you think of Christ and realize, man, wow, best thing ever happened to me. And I can't shut up about it. It's who I am. And God came into my life. I'm changed. That's those shepherds. And they went home, back to shepherding, lived around Bethlehem. But they were known as who? They were known as these men who got to see Jesus. And they've been telling everybody about it ever since. Let me ask you a couple of questions here too. What is God asking you to go back to? See, these guys went back. But go back to in a different way. Go back to as a sold-out follower of Jesus. What is God asking you to go back to that you go, nah, I'd rather not. Get me out of Bethlehem. Get me away from here. Here's another one. What difference is God making in your home? Is he really making a difference in your home because, you know, you can play church? And here's one more. See, they know you at home. They know you at work, or, you know, if you're a student, they know you at school. And here's the thing, they can see every little next. How is she going to respond to that? This next. What is he going to do with this? The ordinary things. Most of our nexts are small nexts, but just because they're small nexts doesn't mean they're unimportant nexts. My obedience and my faith in God is not only required on the big things, it is also required in the ordinary small things, all the small things and all the small nexts of my daily life and your daily life. It is just as important. In fact, the sum total of it is probably greater. And it is those small, paying attention to those small nexts and having my faith being active and my trust in God and my obedience in God be active in those small nexts, what prepares me for what? The big nexts. Don't underestimate the importance of those small nexts. Don't do it. And most often they're honed where? Right at home. Right where you live. Right where your life takes place, day in and day out. I find it interesting in Mark chapter 5, it's found in the other synoptic gospels as well, we find a man who's been possessed by a whole legion of demons. Everybody's afraid of him. Nobody knows what to do with him, but Jesus shows up, and because, you know, he sets him free. It's a great story to read. It really is. Mark chapter 5. And so Jesus casts out the demons. He's back in his right mind, and then he tells the disciples, talk about doing ordinary stuff. Go clean him up. Give him a shower. Go cut his hair. Find him some clean clothes. And they do. And then, he's all cleaned up, and he's there, and here's what we read. And as he was getting into the boat, that's Jesus, the man who had been possessed with demons did what? He begged him that he might go with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away. That's that man who was delivered from all this demonic possession and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone did what? Was amazed or marveled. Wow. See? Most of us live shepherd lives, interspersed with wise man decisions and Mary and Joseph midnight panics. But most of our lives takes place on the shepherd scale. Let's get really good at living on the shepherd scale. Getting those nexts, those small nexts, day after day, right? And then be prepared when the command comes. Leave right now. Or go a different way. Change your plans. I don't know where you're at right now, but I know the next is coming. And let's learn from the Word of God. If you're here today and you found yourself in this little church and you're not quite sure why, but you have no idea where you're standing with God, we're going to sing a song here in just a minute. I will follow. If you got questions about Jesus, would you just, for number one, take out a little card in front of you and said, and write your name and your phone number down. And when Pastor Winter will be here, we got small group leaders, and we would love to talk with you and hand that little card to them. Or maybe you've been here enough, but you've never taken that next step of faith, of committing yourself to Christ by faith. Do it today. But then most of us, we claim to be followers of Jesus. Home and next are the two words. And I'm not going to preach the sermon a second time, but it does require a response. And what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, would you follow through with that? If you're hurting today and you just need a brother or sister to wrap arm around you and pray with you, come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this challenge of living out Christ at home, and this challenge of following you in every next that life throws at us, from the simple to the complex, from the difficult to the rather easy, from that which panics us and makes our hearts race with fear, to that which is just joy. I pray, Lord, that we be found surrendered to you, the living God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So have your way with us in these next moments. In Jesus' name, amen.